Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Reb T, the Audio Dvar Torah with Reb T, the show where we talk about the Parsha of the week with some practical lessons to keep. We have finally made it to one of my favorite characters in the Torah, maybe one of my favorite characters in the entire Tanakh. That, of course, is that of Avraham, the great personality of Avraham, the great pillar of Chesed, Avraham. Before we talk a little bit about Avraham himself, I want to talk about the idea of the wording of the Parsha, Lech Lecha, go for yourself, travel for you. Of course, we know the phraseology, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Me'maladetecha El Arz Asher Areka. I don't remember who said it. Maybe it was a sage or a rabbi or a commentator. Somebody said that the way that the phraseology is in the Pasuk shows that there was a greater level of difficulty in each thing Avraham did, because the land where we live, our community, our land, our property, our neighborhood is one thing. When you leave your neighborhood, it's one thing. When you leave to go somewhere else, to leave your place of residence is one thing. Then leaving your house is another thing. Leaving your family, extended family, is definitely a higher thing. And then leaving your parents, your close family, is very difficult. So it says, Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Me'maladetecha, or whatever the phraseology is, but it goes higher and higher. He had to leave his neighborhood, he had to leave his house, he had to leave his family. He went with Sarah and Lot to somewhere else, and he left everything else behind, because each aspect is something more dear to us. Each aspect is more difficult and harder to leave. First, you think about the idea of making Aliyah. Not going to talk about that right now. Of course, it's the place we should be, and we all should hopefully be there, Mir Tashem, soon with the coming Mashiach and the Beit HaMikdash. Hopefully we could go there personally when the time is right. Would be wonderful. But you think about someone who makes Aliyah, someone else who leaves. First, they leave their community. They leave their house. They leave their friends, they leave their extended family of cousins, and the hardest thing to leave behind is parents and siblings, if they're not going to go with them. Of course, taking immediate family of your wife and kids, and if you're the forerunner, if the wife is the one deciding, and then the husband and the kids comes along, but everybody else left behind is difficult. But each stage is more and more difficult, leaving the community, leaving the shul, leaving your house, leaving your friends, leaving your family, your extended family, and then closer family, until it's just the nuclear family, the immediate family that goes. And for Avraham, it was probably very difficult to leave his homeland, to leave his family, to leave everything behind. Of course, he was a very spiritual person. He was on a very high level. But for him to leave must have been very difficult. And it could be considered one of his many tests. Of course, we know there were 10 trials, 10 nisyonos that Avraham had to go through. And there's different lists. The Rashi has one. Ramban has another one, but whoever says whichever test it definitely was a test of faith and a trial on some level, if not one of the 10 trials, to have to leave this and go to this land. Hashem is going to tell him where to go. You know, I don't know if he had his possessions with him, what he was able to take with him. We don't know who really went with him besides for Sarah and Lot. Very difficult. But if we look at the phraseology of Lech Lecha, travel for yourself, we could take a lesson ourselves about traveling for yourself. When you're traveling on the way, when you're going on the way, when you're going about your business every day, where do you travel and how do you travel? What do you travel with? What do you take with you on your travels? Not even if you're going on a big expedition, not even you're going on a big trip. If you're going stomp to work, if you're not working remotely during our crazy times here in 2020, if you have to go to work, what do you take with you? Do you just take some food with you? What about your spiritual nourishment? What's your life? What are you traveling with? What are you leaving behind, or what are you taking with you? Do you bring a sefer with you to work? Do you listen to a shiur with you on the way to work? Do you take some time from your busy workday to learn a little bit, go to a Jewish website, pull out a sefer, or pull out a podcast or a shiur or a video to watch that's Torah-based? What are you traveling with? What are you doing that's Lech Lecha? What are you traveling to and traveling from? Hopefully the Torah goes with you. When I used to go to work, before I had a ride on the train in the morning, I would always try to listen Bli Neder to the Daf. And in the afternoon, a lot of times, not very every day, but sometimes I would listen to the Parsha or read Eish. Sometimes back in the day, I would read through the Parsha itself. What do you do on the train to and fro? What do you do on the travel ride if you're driving to and from work? And what are you doing at work? If you have breaks, is it wasted on Narishkeit procrastination, or or maybe a little bit of the Jewish websites, Eish and Chabad, OU, YU, all these wonderful organizations, wonderful websites you could be a part of. Because when we're traveling, when it's Lech Lecha, when you're traveling for yourself, going to a place, traveling to a place, what can we do? We should always take our Torah on the way. We should always travel on the way. Take it with us, whatever we do, wherever we're going, even if it's a little bit of Torah. Even if it's a little bit, Shir doesn't have to be 400 minutes, doesn't even have to be an hour. If you listen for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20, 30 minutes, whatever you listen to, you should take it with you, and you should travel with you. Just the idea of Lech Lecha, going on the way for yourself, what are you going to take with you when you're traveling? We think about the idea of the character of Avraham. A lot of the characters in the Torah, especially Moshe, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Shvatim, these were like large, Noach and the Adam, these were like larger than life people. Very hard to relate to these people, understanding what they were all about, but we have to remember, for sure they were human. You know, in Judaism, in our way of life, we don't portray anyone as without sin, we don't portray anyone as infallible, that they were not human on any aspect, God forbid. Of course they were human, they were very, very high level, they were very spiritual, and they're very lofty, but it doesn't mean that they weren't human, God forbid. Of course they were human, and the Torah reflects that for us, that a lot of times there are failings and faultings and failures that are pointed for us specifically. You know, there are different times that the Avos are portrayed that they have characteristics that show that they are fallible. You know, it shows about Moshe striking the rock, getting angry. It shows about Yaakov upset at his wife, and even Avram and Yitzchak showing that they're actual humans, showing that they have the character traits. Because the Torah is not just a book about laws. It's not just a book about perfect beings, because nobody is perfect except for Hashem. But the Avos, as amazing as they were, of course, were still human. Still had some things that Hashem faulted them for, and still had some aspects to work on. So we can look up to these characters, and we should look up to these characters. And for me, one of the main characters to look up to is Avraham, because Avraham exemplifies the trait of Chesed. He stands for the aspect of Chesed. And for me, for many years, for some reason, I feel very drawn to that. I feel very connected to that. I like to do. I like to give, especially with the hands, whether I'm cooking for someone, or giving something, or buying something, or getting something, or giving something. For some reason, I feel connected to that. So for me, personally, Avram is a great role model, one of my favorite characters, my favorite personas. What an amazing character he was. You think about Avraham, he wanted to do. Its mainstay for him was Emor Ma'at Ve'aseh Harbeh. We'll learn in the Parsha when Avram has to go bury Sarah later on, in Chaya Sarah, before he buries her, he goes to Ephron. Ephron was not a great character, very greedy. Ephron was the opposite of Avram. Ephron said a lot, but did a little. He said, yeah, take this piece of land. Between us friends, what is it? Take it. And then he charged Avram 400 silver shekels. You know how much money that was? Some people calculate nowadays was $2 million for a little piece of land that had nothing on it, a little cave. But Avram gladly paid it. When Avram has the guests right after his bris milah coming up in the Torah, you know, he wants guests. He's pained not to have guests, and he's in major torturous pain. They say the third day after the bris milah, all of us wouldn't really know because we had it when we were 8 days old, but you know, after 3 days, it's the most painful, and he's running to have guests. And when he has the guests, he says, come to my tent, have a little bit of milk, a little bit of meat, I'll give you a little bit. Do you know what he serves them? He slaughters a calf for each of them just to have a full tongue. He gives them these fattened calves, he gives them a ton of milk, he gives them all this food. They weren't even human to begin with. They were angels. They couldn't eat. They looked like they were eating. There was a fire burning within them, maybe, metaphorically, that sort of ate the food. They looked like they ate the food because B'makom, in a place of, someone says, you can't deviate from Derech Eretz, so they pretended to be men, which is another thing the commentators point out, a lesson. When you're in someone's place, you act like them and you follow the laws and the customs. But anyway, Avram was Emor Ma'at Ve'aseh Harbeh. He said a little bit, but did a lot, because he was very generous. He was very chesed-oriented. He was very giving. The idea of going lefnei mesher sadin, just because it says to give tzedakah 1/10, doesn't mean you should only give 1/10. If you could give more, you should really give more. If it's not going to break your bank, you really should give more. You have more resources, more time. Somebody calls you for a minute for a question, give them 10 minutes. Someone calls you for one idea, give them five ideas. Go lift name Yashur Sadin, like Avraham. Go above and beyond. He was an awesome character, a pillar of chesed and a pillar of generosity, which to me is probably the best trait, if not one of the best traits to have in your own life. Such a wonderful persona to try to follow and to try to be a part of. Look what Pirkei Avos talks about. When it comes to Avraham, of course, there's a million things you could say about Avraham, but in our time together, I try to keep it to a time slot. We used to do 10, now we go up to 30, 40, whatever of that week. So we try to give just a few sources, of course, with the help of Sefar and Chabad this week. So Sefar points out the text of Pirkei Avos in 5.2 and 5.3 in Hey Bet and Hey Gimon. Asara Dorot Menoach Vat Avram. There are 10 generations from Noach to Avram. Why were there 10 generations? Why is it important to know 10? 10, of course, is a very big figure in Judaism. The Aseres Hadibros and Aser Nisyonos and the Aser Nisim, obviously. The whole Pirkei Avos in Perek Hay has a lot about 10. Anyway, there's 10 generations from Noach to Avram. There's also 10 generations from Adam to Noach. So from Noach to Avram, what do we know about this 10? It's ordered to make us known what long suffering. This is for all those generations kept on provoking Hashem, kept on provoking Hashem, you know, from the Mabul and then the Dor HaFlago when they did the Migdal Bavel, and they kept on just doing bad, bad, bad until Avraham came along and received the reward of all of them. Avraham was one person, but he received the reward of all those generations before him. It shows you the power of one. It shows you the capability of one. What one person can do is astounding. What one person can do is astonishing. You have the power. You have the ability. You have the capability to change the world. Avram was one person, and he recognized the stars and Hashem at a young age. Some say 3, other people say 40, whatever. Some people say different ages, but definitely early in his life. You know, he had a lifetime of like 170 years, 175 years, I believe, if I'm thinking correctly. That's a lot of years, and early on, he already saw Hashem, and he was able, through his influence, through his charismatic personality, or whatever type of personality he had, ve'et nefashot asher asu b'charan. We learn in one of the parashios about Avram and Sarah, they took the souls that they made in Charan. What do you mean they took the souls? What souls did they make? They created neshamas? They created a soul? So according to an explanation, Avraham was able to be Mekarev the man, and Sarah was able to be Mekarev the woman. It says that after Avraham fed them, he said, you know, they thanked him for the meal. He said, why are you thanking me? I'm not the one that grew the wheat. I'm not the one that made the water. I'm not the one that made this food. It all comes from Hashem. Come, let's sit down and let's bless God together. He did it in a way to know, first let me give them the food, then let's bring Hashem into the picture. You know, first let's eat and then we'll talk. He knew he had the ultimate formula for Kiev way before all these wonderful organizations of nowadays. Maybe the original Makariv was Avraham. He was able to bring people together, all the Nefashos, all the people he influenced and he swayed to the service of Hashem was all the way back. And he was one person, the power of one person. You are one person, but you have the power to change the world. We always talk about you have an idea, you have an innovation, you have an invention, you have something you want to bring to the world, you got to do it. You got to point it out. You got to let everybody hear about it. You got to show the world because you have the power to influence the world, to change the world. Avram was one person, but the whole course of history changed because of him. You also are one person, but you can definitely change the world through different aspects of your qualities, your capability, your talents, and different traits. So Avram came and he took all that reward from all those generations because he came about and he was able to receive the reward of everything. And then Pirkei Avos also points out in the next Mishnah in 5.3, Hey Gimel, with 10 trials was Avraham our father, may he rest in peace, tried. Avram was slammed with 10 different nisyonos, 10 different trials. Of course, one of them was the Akedas Yitzchak, and there's differing opinions which were exactly the 10. One of them could have been the banishment of Yishmael, according to different opinions, because that was anathema to his nature, totally against the chesed nature of kicking someone out, so he had to do that. And of course, different ones, and or Kazdim, when he was thrown into the fire for believing in Hashem by Nimrod, and he came out unscathed, and his brother ran in, but he didn't come out, also a terrible time for Avraham. Then he took Lot with him. As a result, as a response, he felt responsible for him, maybe. But Avram had these 10 trials, and he withstood all of them. And with each trial, he was raised above and above and above and above with like a banner of declaring to the world that he's an Eved Hashem, until he finally did a Akedas Yitzchak, and he wasn't raised any higher than that, because he reached the top, the pinnacle of his mission and his being. We don't see that Hashem talks to Avram so much after that last trial, because he reached his purpose, and the story moves over to Yitzchak, because he was tried and tested again and again and again, and only with the Akedah it really said outright in the text, this is a trial, this is a test, because it was never made to come to fruition. All the other tests and trials he had to do, he had to banish Shmuel, he had to be thrown into the fire, but Yitzchak, obviously, he wasn't really slaughtering Yitzchak, it was the Akedah Yitzchak, it was the binding of Yitzchak, not the killing of Yitzchak, God forbid. Because that was the only one that was really a test. All of them were trials that had to be taken to completion, and moving from outside of Israel to Israel, of course, he had to actually move, but Yitzchak, he didn't actually have to kill. It was just binding him. But anyway, he withstood all of these tests to make known how great was the love of Avram, our father, for Hashem, and how great the love of Hashem was for Avram. We should realize in our own life, Hashem sends us things to test us, to try out things on us, to give us trials. But we should realize and be raised each time with another banner, another degel, another flag, coming closer and closer to Hashem, understanding, withstanding whatever Hashem sends to us. We know, Koman de Avid Rachmana Latova, everything that Hashem sends to us is for the best, Rabbi Akiva would say, and Gamza Latova, Rabbi Akiva's teacher, Nachum Yish Gamzi, would say. Everything that Hashem sends to us, the Gemara points out, everything that is sent to us from Hashem is only good. We don't know why it's good. We don't understand why it's good. We don't know how it's going to play out, but Hashem only sends things that are for our best. Hashem tries us and tests us because He loves us. If He didn't test us, if He didn't try us, maybe He wouldn't love us, and that would be a very scary thing. The Gemara says if you go 40 days without any test or trial or any nisyonos or any hardship, you should be very worried, because something's not right. Hashem always sends something to us. Hashem wants to try us and trial us and test us to see how we respond. Are we going to respond in a good way? Are we going to respond in a Torah-dika way and in a mitzvahs-oriented way, a schar way, where we try to raise ourselves up and stand up to the test? So Hashem sends you traffic. Are you going to be angry? Are you going to start yelling and cursing? What is the point of that? It's a waste of time, a waste of effort. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Understand, everything comes from Hashem. Everything's for the best. Your cursing, your anger, your yelling at the traffic, yelling at the things around you makes no sense. Why don't you take it with stride? Okay, so I'm going to be a few minutes late home. I'm going to be a few minutes late to the meeting. I can't do anything about it anyway. The stimulus is there. I can't control the traffic. The response, my response, is what I can control. Avram teaches us that he was given so many trials. So often he could have wanted to give up. So often he could have said, this is it, Hashem. This is just too much for me already. But he never said that. He always stood up to the test. And he got higher and higher and higher until he reached the pinnacle of his mission of existence. And it says by his life, after his death, it says the days of the years of his life. Why? Because not only did he live his years to the fullest, he lived his life to the fullest, but he lived every day to the fullest. Can we say that we lived every day to the fullest? Can we look back at night and say, wow, this was a good day. I used my time really nicely today. I was involved in really good things today. A lot of Torah I was involved in today. A lot of mitzvahs and chesed I was involved with today. I made good use of my day. Time is the only commodity we can never get back. People talk about wasting time, killing time, and you're really wasting and killing time if you don't use it properly. Time will never get back. We're only given a limited amount of time in our life, 120 years. What are you going to do with your days? What are you going to do with your hours and minutes? What are you going to do with your years on this earth? You can never get time back. If you're late, you can never make that up, but you're early, you could always do something with that time. What are you going to do with your time? Can we say that your days were fully complete? Can we say your years were fully complete? What are they going to say about you after 120 years? Oh, he made so much money, such a big house, such a big car. He really lived up to the Joneses like the neighbors. No one ever talks about that. What are they going to say at your funeral after 120 years? Sorry to be morbid, but this point always is stuck in my head from Moser Shmuzes, from Rav Eli back in the day in Reshit, in Yeshiva. What are they going to say about you after 120 years? What are they going to write about you? How would they eulogize you, God forbid? Are they going to say you made the most of your days days of your years, he was a really generous person. He was a really giving person. He was always looking for the mitzvah, the next chesed, the next mitzvah, the next way to help someone else. He was such a selfless person, such a giving person. She was such a selfless, giving, chesed, mitzvah-oriented person. That's a really wonderful thing. Keter Shem Tov is the one that's on top. More than priesthood and kingship and royalty, the good name, what you do and leave behind in this world, the reputation you leave, that's all you have after 120 years. And from Avraham, he made the most of his time. He said a little, but did a lot to make sure that his days and his years were really used. And he stood up to all of his trials. We know Pirkei Avos also teaches us in Hey Yud Tet the different traits Avraham leaves to us in our spiritual DNA. Our ancestor Avraham bequeathed to us in his DNA through spirituality within the core of our being that we're supposed to have a few things. We know that as Jewish people, we're supposed to be compassionate, we're supposed to be embarrassed, and we're supposed to be givers. I forget the wordage of the Gemara, but we're supposed to be Baishanim and Rachmanim, and we're supposed to be givers and full of chesed. I forget them exactly, but if you don't have those traits, the Gemara wonders, God forbid, if you're a Jewish person. You don't have a guilty conscience, you don't have embarrassment, you don't have kindness and compassion, you don't have giving. We're worried if you're even a part of the Jewish people, God forbid. Those are hallmarks and trademarks of the Jewish people, which comes from Avraham. Besides what Pirkei Avos says, whoever possesses these three things, he is of the disciples of Avraham, our father. Of course, it contrasts with Bilam, which is interesting because Bilam is contrasted with Moshe. Lahavda, Moshe was a prophet. Bilam was a false, like, non-Jewish prophet. The non-Jews, Hashem wanted them to have their non-Jewish prophet, so they would never complain and said, if we had a prophet, maybe we would have done better. So he gave him Bilam. Of course, that didn't go well. It's interesting why Avraham is contrasted with Bilam, but we look at the traits. A good eye, a generous person, a humble spirit, someone who is full of humility, and a moderate appetite, someone who does things in moderation, someone who knows how to be modest and do things in the right way. He is of the disciples of Avraham our father, and the disciples of Avraham our father enjoy this world and inherit the world to come. As it says, I will endow those who love me with substance, I will fill